Now, hopefully we have a title slide coming up. I want you to turn your mind today to the passage that we read together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. And you'll see I have put the title on it, Get Out of the Boat. And that's what passage I want to refer to. It's a passage that gives rise to some interesting interpretation. Matthew records for us, after the miracle, the wonderful miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus went away by himself to pray. And how true that is. We all need to take time, and maybe the trouble is these days, people are far too busy. And maybe prayer is not one of the things that is high up on the agenda. And we learn a lesson straight away. Jesus went away by himself to pray. Only our best are we in those times alone, when we are close with God. But eventually at the end of the night, before the dawn was breaking, we read that he was in a boat, and they were making contact with the disciples again, and they saw him walking on the water. Now, to be fair, one of the Greek phrases could be translated walking towards the water. It doesn't matter. But clearly, we were told in no uncertain terms and understandably that the disciples were very frightened. Of course, they would be. They didn't recognize him in the distance because the daylight was only breaking. But Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, it is me." And he made himself known to them. And here's the point that I'm coming to in the sermon today. Peter, impulsive as he was, he jumps out of the boat in response, and he came and started walking towards Jesus. Now, Peter clearly was not afraid to take a risk. Maybe he thought he was nearer the shore than he was in shallow water, we don't know. But we do know the story that when he started walking towards Jesus, when he took his eyes off Jesus and the wind and storm, he began to sink and he cried out to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a good swimmer. I'm not a swimmer at all. So the idea of getting out of the boat, even if I had a life jacket on, wouldn't enter into my thinking. Maybe some of you can. But it's the risk that Peter took to get to Jesus that I'm wanting to refer to. I wonder, do you like taking risks? Now, in anything in life, are you a person, or are you like me, a cautious person? Incidentally, did you know what is the world's best-selling armchair? I'm told it is the Lazy Boy recliner. Now, maybe you have one in your house. We have a recliner in our house. It's not a Lazy Boy. The Lazy Boy is the person who sits in it. But you know, most of us, quite unlike the Apostle Peter, we like comfort, don't we? We like that which makes us happy. We don't like to have to take a risk. I'll be honest, that describes me. Does it describe you? Theologian Karl Barth said, comfort is one of our greatest siren calls. We're like couch potatoes. We stay in the boat. We're like the disciples. We're really quite different to Peter, who was not afraid to take a risk and go towards Jesus. Now, here's the question. Why did Peter get out of the boat and walk to Jesus? The next slide shows it for us. The answer is in verse 29. Peter responded to the invitation of Jesus when Jesus said, come. As I said before, come is one of the loveliest words. Come is the words of invitation of the gospel. Come unto me, come. Jesus said, come. Verse 29 tells us that. And we know the basic reality is that if we want to come to Christ, we need faith. We do. Like Peter in the boat or in the dry land, we need to take a risk sometimes. And maybe the reason why less people come to Christ and commit their lives to Christ as they get older is because we're less wanting to take a risk. I made a commitment when I was a boy of 10. And that's why I believe passionately in youth work and children's work in churches. It's great when people come in the 11th hour of their lives, but it's better when they come as children, the whole life ahead of them, to serve Christ and to be involved. But in responding, we've got to respond to the invitation to come. And you know, we may as well be honest about it. When we come to Christ for salvation, as we should do, he doesn't promise a life of ease. It's not going to be all sunshine on top of the water all the time, or freedom from temptation or trial. Life's not like that. You'll have tribulations along the way. But he promises never to leave us nor forsake us, no more than he forsook Peter whenever Peter began to sink long ago. Now, Peter sometimes is criticized as being impulsive and rash and what have you. But don't criticize Peter for jumping out of the boat to go to Jesus. He did what he was told. He was not afraid to take a risk. And in a sense, water walkers, in inverted commas, have to leave a boat of comfort and ease. And God has designed us, I believe, to do more in life than just live cautiously, a lazy boy, not trying to avoid failure. Because to become a committed Christian, the very first step involves taking a risk and surrendering our lives to him. That is a fundamental step of the Christian faith. And that's a very, very important one. You'll never be in heaven in the life to come unless, if I use the phrase, you get out of the boat here, your boat of comfort, whatever it is here on earth. And I've no doubt your elders and so on will be happy to talk to anyone who wants to take that step and delighted to do so, I am sure. Now, what is your boat of comfort? Now, for every person, of course, it will be different. For some, it could be a job. For some, it could be a relationship that they don't want to give up. For some people, it might be a fear of what other people would think or say. Your boat, to use the phrase, could be anything that stops you coming in faith to Christ or becoming less than what God wants you to be. It can be leaving it. It can be a scary step. I know that, even if there's no water around. But I want you to think on that subject today. What is your boat of comfort that you don't want to leave to either to come to Christ or maybe to do what maybe God is asking you to do something in this church? You're happy in your little boat, as it were, and you don't want to leave. I want you to think about that today. What other lessons can we learn from this lovely passage of Scripture? Well, here's another one. Focus on the Savior, not on the storm. And that's what Jesus did. That's what Peter did, rather. The storm was brewing around him, but Peter got out of the boat. What did he focus on? He focused on trying to get to Jesus. You know, everybody at some time or another in life will experience setbacks. There is no question about it. It just comes with the turf. It's part of life. Someone once said, you can go through life, live on eating healthy food only, go to bed early, avoid controversy, never give an offence, mind your own business, live a clean life, wear a mask, wash your hands often, save all you can, and you'll still die in the bathtub. Because too much analysis often leads to paralysis. In other words, staying in the boat doesn't guarantee safety. It only guarantees you'll die from something else or you'll not achieve what God had planned, God had designed for you to achieve in life. So, referring to this passage again, very simply today, like Peter, we all need to take a risk. As I've said, coming in faith is a risk in one sense, not a risk another way, but it's a risk. You've got to leave what you have behind and take that risk and commit yourself to Christ. But also, living a Spirit-filled life day by day, you need to take a risk. Focus on the Savior, not on the storms or the things that are surrounding you. I'm very much aware still in these days, and the very reason I'm here today is still because COVID is very much with us. And sadly, some people are not acting very wisely. But yet, by the same token, some people have almost given up. And sadly, they have given up on God, and they've given up on the church. It's lovely to see such a big crowd in this church. It's heartwarming. But that's not the case everywhere. No later ago than last Thursday night, I had a meeting in our presbytery to meet with a congregation that's closing its doors for the last time because the people largely given up. How very sad. And it was a courageous thing of the two or three folk that were still there. But, you know, that is a story. So I want to ask you to take a lesson from Peter. Yes, impulsive as he was, he responded to Jesus. He took a risk. He didn't fear the storm. He focused on the Savior. He didn't let the storm paralyze him, and it eventually controlled you. Each time you take a risk in life, every time you maybe feel something difficult, you'll get the strength to do it again. You know that lovely old hymn, "Yield Not to Temptation"? What does it say? It says, each victory will help you some other to win. That's true. So like Peter, focus on the Savior, not on the storm. If you want to grow in the Christian faith, not just be stuck at the point of conversion as some people are, you might need to explore new territory with God. God, what are you asking me to do now in this situation? Accept new challenges, break new ground, do new things, getting involved with God. This is a real challenge for Christian people now in these days. You know, getting out of the boat, as I said, is a risky business. When our children were learning to ride a bicycle, they had stabilizers. When I learned to ride a bicycle, there was no such thing as a stabilizer, and I remember distinctly going down, wobbling down a person's farmyard, and it wasn't too clean. Now that I'll not explain to you why it wasn't too clean. And down I went off the bicycle, and you can imagine. But when our children were learning to ride a bicycle, we were a bit more sophisticated. We got stabilizers. And you watch the children. You've done it too. But you know, there comes a time when the stabilizers have to come off. Isn't that right? And it is frightening to watch your child wobbling down on a bicycle wobbling down without the stabilizers for the first time. But eventually, they soon get the hang of it. Isn't that right? They soon get the hang of it. It's a picture of the kind of faith I think we need in life. It's a picture like walking on the water with the confidence that you're in the will of God. And Jesus stretched out his hand, verse 31, and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why do you doubt? When we are in the will of God, when we're in the path of duty, let us not fear. The waters may be deep. The troubles may be difficult. The times may be hard. There may be uncertain. But Jesus says, come. And he's there. And he's there, and we have no cause to be afraid. Please note today that we need to trust him. Now, some people, maybe they've taken the first step of trusting, but they're afraid to go on. It's a bit like that silly story, and it's not a story that Becca told you about the jam. We need to persevere. We don't give up at every hurdle. We need to keep going on. Let us keep encouraging one another. Let us keep persevering. Let us not hinder at the first hurdle. And pray as the disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. Well, there's one thing more about this passage. Peter is criticized for jumping out of the boat and for walking on the water, as if he was a failure. But here's the point. The real failures were those who were still in the boat because they didn't even try. They didn't even try. They failed quietly. They failed privately. Their failure went unnoticed. Nobody even criticized it. Peter crashed on the water, but what did he do? He got closer to Jesus than the rest. Because he crashed on the water, and then he became a leader. Jesus didn't say, you're a failure, Peter. Peter, as you know, became a great leader in the church. And we have lessons in our letters in our Bible today. He became one of the great leaders and spread of the early church. In anything in life, not least in the spiritual realm, the greatest failure of all is not even to try. Someone would have someone say, as maybe, and I've heard it many a time as I've conducted funerals, of which I've done hundreds of them, as the earthly remains were lowered into the ground, and you'd hear, you get a lot of people talking behind you, and you can hear quite a bit sometimes. He could have done something if he tried. Wouldn't that be an awful thing to say? You see, because Peter started to sink, he did not fail his master. Because he was criticized by others, he did not fail his master. He knew that Jesus was there to save him, and Jesus did. And we need to get out of our boat too. Whatever our boat is, it'll be different from one to another. We need to get out of our boat and respond to the invitation of verse 29 of Jesus, who says, come, come to me. We need to be prepared to take a risk. Let us pray.